Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, football with a bye week, but another huge weekend for A-State volleyball. We'll recap that. Soccer wrapping up their season. And cross country was competing at the Sunbelt Conference Championships on Friday. We'll talk about that as well. But right now, want to welcome in our very special guest, a former student athlete that is now a big part of the athletic department at A-State. He's the new assistant athletic director for major gifts and development. Welcome into the studio, Kellen Blanchett.
Hey.
How are you, Kellen?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So we mentioned the new title.
Yes.
That's got to feel good, number one, but to be at your alma mater doing this.
Feels
great. Is that kind of icing on the cake for you?
Definitely, man. Blessed to be in this position. Worked hard for it, but I'm happy to be home. Happy to be in a place where I genuinely love, and I'm ready to get started and make some great memories.
Talking about being your alma mater, mine too, but one thing I didn't do is, you know, try my hand at any sports while I was at Arkansas State. Nobody gave me that opportunity. You were involved in a couple of them at different times, right?
Yeah. Blessed, man, to be a part of two successful programs here. Came here in 2015. Under Coach Blake Anderson and Trooper Taylor, gave me an opportunity to play football here in a unique situation as well, to also have the opportunity from Coach Patchell, Coach Cooper, to run track in the springtime too. So juggling those two sports for a couple of years, but not too many kids are blessed to be able to play both sports that they really love and do it on a collegiate level as well too. So yeah, those are the two sports. Wish I was over 6 feet to play a little bit of basketball too if I could.
It's kind of a trick question, and I don't mean for it to be, and maybe the answer is dictated by kind of which one you end up doing the longest, but did you think you were a football guy that ran track, or were you a track guy that played football?
That's a great question. I think I was a track guy that played football. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you, track and field just came easy to me. Initially had the body frame for a track and field athlete. My dad played football, gravitated to the sport, but I would say that I was probably a track and field athlete that could play a little bit ball.
Was that your first love?
First love was actually football.
Okay.
Yeah. Football, just like any other sport, you have to continuously put some effort into it to get better. I started running track in maybe eighth grade, and I succeeded very, very, very early. So I'll probably say football was the first love, but track and field took care of me.
All right. So I can understand, though, why football might be your first love, because your dad,
yes,
was a football player here at A-State. Yeah. So he was here from 95 to 2000. When did you first hear about his playing days?
Oh, man, pretty early. So he got here in 1995. I was born in 1996. So growing up, I was used to his teammates. I mean, they would tell me stories all the time that I was around a dorm room running around and, you know, them watching me while my dad go to class and things like that of that nature. So I've been around Arkansas State, the football program, around the guys at a very young age.
Yeah, not many college athletes or kids in general get to say, hey, I was around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To see know my dad's college teammates.
Correct.
And see him play.
Yeah. So seeing the whole transition from, you know, the Indians to the Red Wolves, I was probably one of the biggest fans of Arkansas State athletics as a kid. So
I got to tell you this story. And it, I mean, kind of ticked me off, to be honest with you. As soon as we had that opening, and this is the truth, when this job came open, literally the first name I heard associated with it was Kellen's. And I knew that, hey, he was an alum and he got a ransom track and he played a little football. Okay, great. And he comes in and we meet him, you know, and all this and that, and he starts working. And it's not that me, like his at least second week on the job or some kind of passing comment about, you know, somebody, a former player talking with his dad, something about his dad playing here, and then all of a sudden it kind of clicks. Just tell him your dad's name.
Yeah. Father's name is Denicio Blanchett.
And I said, is Denicio Blanchett your dad? And he's like, yeah. Well, that really ticks me off because he's the same age I am. Like, I got to Arkansas State in 1995.
So you feel old sitting next to Kelly.
Heartbeat. I was like, holy cow, this sucks.
But also a blessing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, a bigger blessing as well,
too. That's right.
So you got to grow up just kind of around Arkansas State, at least in the early years.
Yes.
You moved to Forest City, is that right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah, born and raised in Forest City, always in and out of Jonesboro. But yeah, Forest City is my pride and joy. I take pride in being from that area and also being one of those ones that kind of serve as a beacon of light and, you know, do something different. So Forest City through and through.
So did you grow up because of your early exposure? And I would think, I mean, that's so key. And we could have a whole nother offshoot conversation about exposing kids to a brand. But because you were so exposed to it, I mean, when you got to an age and you knew you would, or you at least you knew enough to know that being a college athlete was a thing, did you want to do that at Arkansas State?
Definitely. Yeah, I told my dad that in high school when recruiting started picking up for me, you know, he kind of asked me, son, what do you want to do? At that time, I really didn't know. I mean, it was either football or track. But I told him, hey, if I have an opportunity to come to Arkansas State, that's where I want to be out of all the schools in the world. So I think this is funny. 10 years later, I'm back in this role.
Yeah.
But that just genuinely shows that I'm Arkansas State through and through.
Which sport did you hear from first at Arkansas State?
Track and field. Shout out to Coach Mike. I had a track and field coach back in at Forest City, Arkansas, and he would spend a lot of time with us, literally taking us different places, LSU, all around the country, just to run AAU track and field. So he was one of those guys that was like, hey, you got a future in this sport. Can I help you out? And he sent a lot of guys from Forest City to Division I schools. So he was the one that initially made that connection and got me in touch with coaches. And from there, everything kind of just took off. Ninth grade, did some pretty good things for the high school and track and field. I didn't jump into the scene in football probably until my 11th grade year. So kind of a late bloomer for that. But track and field was the first sport to take off for me.
I am curious just from an athlete's perspective and tremendous success that Coach Patchell's had with mm-hmm. the track and field program over the last decade or so. What is it about him that helps attract athletes to Arkansas State and his program?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I think from my experience, he just cared, right? Being a young guy, coming in there, not knowing too much, just trying to be a sponge. He's one of those coaches that he genuinely takes his time, him and his staff, and they teach you about the sport, breaking it down, track and field one-on-one, right? And helping you get motivated into being the best version of yourself, pushing you, being hard on you when you need somebody to kind of push you in the back. I think Coach Patchell and Coach Coop and the whole staff, they did a great job my time there.
What was your track event?
Short sprints, came in as a 1 and 2, and I eventually started doing a little bit more 400 and 4x4, 4x1 relays. So whatever Coach Patchell asked me to do,
you were in.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it.
So you're running the last event at a meet?
Yes.
In the relay?
Yeah. All the track and field athletes, they know 4x4 is one of those events where, like I said, it's the last event. So most people are tired. You know, they're sleepy. They're not trying to run the event. But how I started off in track and field, 4x4 was like that was the main event for me. So I always loved the 4x4. My granddad actually still has the state record, Arkansas High School state record for the 4x4. Been standing since 1976, so I really love that event.
Wow, that's something to be proud of.
For sure.
You come here, you're a student athlete. When did it hit you that, hey, I might want to work in athletics someday?
Probably my junior year, realizing what I want to do. And just like any other kid, I came into college wanting to be something else, and then life hits, and then you realize, okay, I want to do something totally different. So I had a great academic advisor by the name of Nate. Nate Carr, shout out to you. If you listen to this, guys like him, Broderick, Shaq, football field, yeah, or the football side. So, you know, having people like that kind of just, you know, woke me up to say, hey, maybe I can be one of those people that work in athletics and give back to the university, give back to the student athletes. Start interning under Casey, Carlos, McCants, and the Redwoods Foundation. I just woke up one day and say, I want to work in this field. This is my calling. And probably every day since like 2019, that's what I've been trying to do.
Your role now, and you mentioned Carlos McCants, you're kind of mirroring a lot of what he did mm-hmm. to get started in his career. And he's now at UCF, but He's also a Red Wolf through and through.
For sure.
Former football player that gets involved at his university. Mm-hmm. Look, he was doing the same role that you are now.
Yeah.
And part of that includes the Letterman's Club.
Correct.
But that's a huge part of what you do.
Yes.
And one thing that Carlos did better than really anybody else has in that role is reach out to the former Letterman at Arkansas State and get them involved again. Mm-hmm. And I know we had the Letterman's Club Hall of Honor banquet here in the last week or so. How important is it to you as a former Letterman now to have somebody that's in your role reaching out and wanting to keep you involved?
And shout out to Carlos. He was one of those guys that took me under his wing when he didn't have to. So I always, you know, love and respect to Carlos. We're frat brothers as well. So being in the same organization, I was able to be around him a lot, pick his brain. But to kind of answer your question as well, I think this university, it'll go to even higher levels, not only with the support of our community and the people that went to school here and that went off to do great things, but also just having the student athletes come back and make this place special and kind of bridge that link between, you know, former student athletes and current student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just reaching back. I know in the future, years from now, it's going to be, you know, another kid that probably remind me of myself, but I want him to know, you know, Arkansas State is a great place and it'll offer you great opportunities if you come here.
So for that part of your job, I mean, think of the ground you can cover, because yes, now you've got two sports worth of athletes as teammates. And now you mentioned, hey, all these guys that carried you around practice stuff. I mean, how much you going to call your dad and go, hey, I need, you know, so-and-so's phone number. Help me out here.
That was the first thing I did. Yeah, that was the first thing I did. Hey, Dad, give me a list of student athletes that you know that want to be involved. Wouldn't mind me giving them a call and introducing myself. So that was the first thing I did, because I genuinely want to develop a relationship with all former letter winners and make this place home for them, if it hasn't already been home for them. But kind of take this to a whole nother level. Like I said, Carlos did great things here, but I want to kind of use this recipe and his blueprint and take this thing to another level and take care of everything that we need to take care of on the Letterman winner side.
You were able to gain some good experience. You worked, after your playing days were over, in development.
Yes.
Here at A-State. But you went some other places. I know you went back to Forest City for a year and then went to TCU, spent a couple of years at Tennessee. How was that experience able to kind of help you out as you eventually made the return to Arkansas State?
I think it was needed. Yeah, it was needed. I graduated, wanted to stay here, but I had an opportunity that I couldn't pass down to come back home and coach and be a part of something special and also start something new. Where I come from in Forest City, we have multiple conference championships. I want to say 6-time state championship. We didn't have a track. So got the job there. They built us a track. It was a part of having the first track and field meet at Forest City.
Hmm.
Pretty historical. And all thanks to Tiffany Hodrick, which is the superintendent there, and Dunny Willis, which is my head coach and the current athletic director at Forest City, giving me an opportunity to give back to the kids back home. And then I woke up and I said, hey, I want to go back to the college level and give this a shot. Applied to TCU, ended up getting that job, moved out there with a friend, slept on that couch for a couple months.
As what? What was the job?
The job title was a development assistant, working with their T Club, which is their TCU former letter winners. So working with John Denton and a lot of guys in Fort Worth, LaDamian Thomason, meeting a lot of great people, learning a lot. I was there for over a year, had the opportunity to connect with Matt Comer, which gave me the job at Tennessee. I went to Knoxville, and that's where I truly learned to be not only a better professional, but a better person. I tell him all the time, and I appreciate my time in Knoxville, because I learned to be a fundraiser and a father all in that 2.5 years while I was there in Knoxville.
Well, the timing works out so well, because you come back to Arkansas State here, and it's just such an exciting time right now with everything.
Definitely.
Going on. Every sport seems to be trending up. Just the state of the athletic program is in a really, really good spot right now. And then you look around and you see the new baseball field going in. So somebody in your role, it has to be more appealing than ever to go and do what you do on a daily basis.
For sure. That was one of the first things I looked at and took note of before taking the job. Like, where is the state of the athletic department? In the past couple of years, especially when I was at TCU for the last 2 or so years, Arkansas State has been trending up. So I told my fiance, hey, if the opportunity to come back around for me to come back home, I'm going to take it.
Is she from here too?
She went to school here. She's okay. Originally from Nashville, went to school here, was a track and field athlete. And we got this thing in the house where she's probably the most decorated and probably most athletic person in the house. 2019 Sun Belt triple jump champion. So she lets me hear it. But yeah, we met. We was teammates. And I love competing with her and being a teammate in life and on the track and field with her. So
y'all race?
We raced one time. I won. But she don't remember that. So
Seems convenient.
Yeah. She don't remember that. She was a jumper. I was a sprinter. I got her.
Yeah, it's not apples. Yeah, apples.
I let her have it.
The
though.
Fair thing is to come with some kind of multi.
Yes. Yeah.
And let y'all go at it.
Yeah. But she'll probably beat me in that. So we just did the race, right?
You're working in athletics. You work extremely close now with Jeff Purinton and I know Brandon Cunningham.
Yes.
What's it like being a part of this staff? And what is it that excites you about what you're doing right now?
Jeff and Brandon, those guys are great to be around. My first couple weeks here, I've probably been here maybe 3 weeks max, but those guys done a great job with showing me around, keeping me updated. But I love being around those guys because they're so forward thinking. So it's always good to be around a team that's, you know, they have one foot in the present, but one foot in the future as well. So, I mean, I've been blessed to be in this situation. Love where Jeff is heading and taking this athletic department. Love how Brandon kind of controls the room, control the development department. So I'm just following their lead and making sure that I'm a good Indian.
Red Wolf.
Yeah.
Good Indian Red Wolf. So I can be a chief one day. Yeah.
Your dad was the Indian. Yeah. You're the Red Wolf.
Yeah.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
So who all did you bring here with you when you made the move?
My fiance and my son.
And he's how old?
He'll be 2 next month.
So. Coach Patchell offered him yet?
Not yet.
It's got to be coming.
Yeah, it's coming. He got a couple offers right now, but we went on that one big offer. So I'm talking to Coach Patchell. We'll work some things out right now.
What do you think his event will be?
It's a great question, man. I laugh often because I think, or as many people would say, this guy has to be a track and field athlete. Both parents were. I think he'll choose something else. Yeah. I think he'll choose something else, right? Hopefully it's, you know, a sport like baseball. Hopefully he's a little bit taller than his pops and maybe play a little bit of basketball, but I'm supporting whatever sport he chooses.
So far, being in this role, what's the most common thing you're getting asked by donors? I know you're asking them a lot, but
I am.
From their perspective, what do they want to know about what's going on in the athletic department?
I just think they're excited about the current state that we're in, right? So a lot of conversations are revolving around the football program and us being that one more win away from being bowl eligible.
Yeah.
So they're excited. They love what Bush is doing here with the football program. Flip side, I'm getting a lot of conversations about the basketball season, baseball season, volleyball season just passed, right? So I'm having a lot of conversations just about the sports here. And I mean, I'm loving all the feedback right now. And I'm getting a lot of questions that I don't have all the answers to, but I will get the answer. So it's fun just to be around familiar faces and have those conversations.
Well, this has been fun. I appreciate you coming in today. Yep. Congratulations on being back here at Arkansas State. And folks will be seeing a lot more of you as we go forward.
No, for sure. I'll definitely be around. If anybody need me, like I said, I'm walking around here and trying to meet as many people and shake as many hands as possible.
That's Kellen Blanchett joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We've got more to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. on. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back in to the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. How about that volleyball team?
Yep.
They just keep on winning. Another great weekend, this time on the road in Lafayette. 1-4 sets on Friday, 3 sets on Saturday, and how about this? 20-4 now on the season, 10-2 in conference play. The 20 regular season wins is the first time that's happened since 2016. They've now won 5 in a row. And they go into the final weekend of the regular season tied for first in the Sun Belt's Western Division. And they just happen to be playing the team that they're tied with coming up this weekend. And the Red Wolves in South Alabama, Friday at 6, Saturday at 1 at First National Bank Arena. This is going to be a whole lot of fun.
Well, hopefully our crowd will make it a whole lot of fun. We've had some good volleyball crowds, good environments. We certainly need 2 more here. By the time you're listening to this, you probably have already seen an announcement that you're going to be able to get one tickets for both matches this weekend. So you could save a little money, come cheer on A-State. From a student standpoint, something we rolled out at the end of last week that's going to cover, there's 10 total games this covers, and these 2 volleyball matches are among them. It started Monday night with the men's basketball game, and it's going to go through games on December 7th, which is in finals week. So every time we play at home between that, I think it's 10 total events.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a QR code in the student section, or multiple QR codes, that the students can check in. They get in the A-State app, and they scan that QR code to check in at an event. And it'll send me a spreadsheet of every student that scanned that QR code to check in. Well, at the end of those 10 events, I'm going to take those 10 lists, I'm going to randomize it, and I'm going to pick a winner. What that winner is going to get is I'm going to get with that winner of that contest, and I'm going to get with the folks at Parking Services on campus. And in the spring semester, we're paying for that winning student a contracted parking space, their own personal parking space for the second semester.
Wow.
So, and the reason I say we'll get with them is just because, depending on kind of where the bulk of their classes are, we'll look at where the nearest, you know, contracted space is for that. So if it's inside covered space in the parking garage, we'll buy that. But if it's on the other side of campus where most of their classes are and there's a space available, we'll pay for that.
I remember when I was in college just stalking whoever was going to the parking lot and trying to find that space. It was so tough to find a good parking space while I was in college. That was just part of the routine. But to have your own space, that's tough to beat.
And here's the thing is that, you know, you could enter that contest 10 times just by showing up at those 10 events and checking in. So hopefully we'll get some students to do that. It started Monday night, but continues Friday and Saturday. The last 2 home matches of the season, this team has earned the right to play in front of 2 big crowds with high stakes, and hopefully they'll get to do that this weekend.
Meanwhile, it is the first week of basketball season. We are recording this before the season opening games on Monday night. The men opening up the season back on Monday night against Akron, and the women opening the season at Western Michigan. Now, both teams are on the road coming up later this week. In fact, both playing on Friday. The women are at Arizona State on Friday afternoon. You'll be calling that game.
I will be.
In Tempe at 4 o'clock. And then I'll be in Tuscaloosa Friday night as the men take on second-ranked Alabama, a Final Four team from a season ago. So some big challenges coming up on Friday, but a couple of big opportunities as well.
Yeah, looking forward to getting the pinch hit and head out west to Tempe and see this A-State team. Be first chance to see them in person, obviously. I mean, there's 2 secret scrimmages and then opening up on the road in the MAC Challenge. So even though they don't get home till the 13th, I'll get the advantage of getting a look at them Friday out in Arizona, and looking forward to that.
The conference making some headlines this past week. New conference tournament format that they've announced for this season. In March, We'll be back in Pensacola for the Sun Belt Conference Basketball Championships.
Now, they also announced an extension to that deal. I think stretched it out 5 more years.
I'm good with that. I think Pensacola's been a great place to host the tournament. They've done a good job there. Pensacola likes having the tournament there, and it's a great reward for all the teams getting to go to Pensacola Beach.
You know, it's funny. I think things would look and go a lot differently if right now if that tournament was in Hot Springs than they went when it was in Hot Springs. Because you look at where Hot Springs has advanced since then, more hotels, more space to put places. I don't think a lot of the problems that popped up when it was in Hot Springs would be problems now. Now, that's not to say anything about Pensacola, but obviously it was fun for us when that thing was in Hot Springs.
Heck yeah.
But and Pensacola will now, at the end of this contract, will become the place that's hosted the Sun Belt Tournament more than any other city.
It's a place where we're going to have one of the more unique tournament formats I think we've seen anywhere throughout the world of college basketball, and it's some outside-the-box thinking in a league where most years you're going to have just one team go to the NCAA tournament. Now, there's been a few exceptions over the years to that, but for the most part, this is a one-bid league, and you want to give the best teams the best opportunities to go to the NCAA tournament and win a game. That is certainly the thinking behind this new format. And for those who have not seen it yet, I think nationally got a lot of coverage, at least on social media, when it came out the other day. The 11 through 14 seeds, if they're going to win the conference tournament, they're going to have to win 7 games in 7 consecutive days. And look, if that happens, then that's got a Netflix documentary just waiting on it. I mean, I can't imagine that's ever happened in college basketball history.
It is the shortest, widest bracket you've ever laid eyes on. When you see it, you know, on a piece of paper or on the website. And the coaches obviously get a say in this. And we've seen, especially on the men's side, we've seen them try a lot of stuff in the years we've been watching this. They've done it every way. After this, I would think every way imaginable. Because you're stuck in a spot where, like, the finances and the TV stuff, like, I mean, you want to have a conference tournament, right? I mean, you want to have a conference tournament. But truth be told, at the league office level, and it's not that, I mean, the chips fall where they may, but there's a pretty good track record, especially on the men's side, that when the number one seed wins the Sun Belt tournament, they've got a really good track record of going in and winning a game in the NCAA tournament. The problem has been the number one seed hadn't won the tournament all that many times. And so you're stuck in this spot between wanting to have a conference tournament and wanting to give yourself the best shot to win a game in the NCAA tournament. And so this is kind of the latest tip to, as you said, reward the teams that finish at the top, shorten their path, and see if you can keep that trend going of when the number one seed gets to the big dance, they stay a little while.
Yeah, I mentioned how tough it'll be for those 11 to 14 seeds, but the 1 and 2 seeds, you get byes all the way to the semifinals.
Yep.
You could be a 1 or a 2 seed, show up on Sunday night, win a game, play in the championship the next night, and then go home.
You could also show up in Pensacola as the number one seed and take on a team that's playing for the 6th straight day.
Yeah, you could do that too. But it'll be really fun to see how it all plays out. Obviously, there's a whole lot of folks around here looking forward to this basketball season. We'll take another timeout. Be back to wrap things up here on the Second to None podcast right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank,
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back one more time to the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Cross-country teams were in Foley, Alabama on Friday, competing in the Sun Belt Conference Championships. The men and women both finishing second in the competition. And how about the year for Jacob Pyatt? We've been talking about him a lot. He wins the individual crown and won it by over 30 seconds on Friday.
I wonder if he was starting to think at some point, did I take a wrong turn? I could have swore there were other people out here.
First since our buddy, former podcast guest, Bennett Pasco, back in 2020 to win the individual title. But Jacob was the Sun Belt Conference runner of the year. And by the way, we did go 1-2 in the individual competition. Jacob finishing first and then Nadi Enright finishing second.
And so App State, you won it on the men's side. And it's interesting because they focus, I think, at App State, a lot of their efforts, the resources, scholarship-wise stuff, they kind of load up on their distance runners. To be very, very good in that discipline and to try to win the cross-country championship. They've won it the last couple of years. So we're like, if I got it right, and this could be wrong and somebody could correct me, but where we went 1-2, five of the next six spots were App State's five runners.
Oh, wow. Yeah, if you put five in the top
eight. I think.
That's tough to beat. We're dealing with some injuries there as far as our teams are concerned, but finishing top two in both the men's and women's side, solid seasons again for the A-State cross-country teams.
I mean, nobody else goes to one of these things, finishes second, and comes home mad.
Baseball news. By the way, the baseball team was in Starkville on Sunday playing a fall scrimmage against Mississippi State. But they released the 2025 schedule. The season will open, actually, on Valentine's Day, February 14th, against Morehead State. That'll be the first of a three-game series in Jonesboro. Mike Silva's team will play eight of the first nine at home and a total of 30 home games on the schedule this year. Plenty of chances to come out and look at that new turf.
Had a chance, to visit, to meet and spend some time with Coach Silva last week. And I left that meeting kind of just fired up all over again. This guy gets it. This guy, and that's just the best way I could put it. This guy gets it on a lot of different levels, including just kind of the things it takes to be successful at a place like this. Because if you look at his record, his career path, it's places similar to Arkansas State's where he's been as an assistant or as the head coach. And I say, I mean, the school's this size, cities like Jonesboro. I mean, he just understands like what it's going to take for he and his players to go out and get kind of immerse themselves in the community. I'm excited just kind of the grasp he has on things and ready to get to work with him.
Men's golf wrapping up their fall schedule this past week at the Kapolei Invitational in Hawaii. They finished sixth out of 15 teams in that event. So been a solid fall for Coach Hagan and his team.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're ready to get back, but that's probably not the case. I don't know how many they may not be as,
well,
as ready to get back
hurry.
As we thought. Yeah, but turns just kind of they'll get into their break here and then come back for kind of the real season, right, in the spring. I mean, not that the fall's not, but it's really, you know, the spring is what leads up to the conference championship and the NCAA championship. And so I'm sure they have things they've seen they want to work on in this winter break, but have to be encouraged. And he put up in a challenging schedule. They covered a lot of ground. They went, kind of chasing good weather, and they will continue to do that. And I'm guessing they're going to be right where we expect them to be.
Soccer team saw their season come to an end this past Thursday. I guess fittingly with
that's what I was about to say.
Scoreless tie at Troy. Season ends with a record of 4-6-6. And yes, the six ties are a school record. I know not the season that Coach Dooley wanted to have. As usual, he had a really, really good defensive team. They didn't allow a whole lot of goals all season long, but just offensively seemed like they had a little bit of a struggle getting things going this year.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's happened before, just with injuries or transfers or what have you, different things. But, man, it's sort of like you say in other sports, in football or basketball, you know, defense travels. And this bunch, whether they were home or on the road, they played defense and always gave themselves a chance to win matches. I'm looking, as you said, at those six ties.
Yeah, how many of those were scoreless ties?
Oh, at least half of them. But our friends down in Lafayette finished with a record of 7-5-8.
Eight? That's a lot of ties. They had more ties than they had wins or losses.
Yes. As you mentioned, so it's kind of probably fitting, as you said, to have a scoreless tie. But before that, was their senior day. You know, they got a big win against Old Dominion here that was you know, an Old Dominion team that finished second in the East. Mm-hmm. And knocked them off here on senior day. So they're, I'm sure, frustrated or disappointed to not be playing in the tournament, because it literally is at any point, at any match, sneak one in there, you know, the results change drastically, because they were always in the match because of their defense.
Bowling, want to mention them. They were in Houston over the weekend participating in the Cat Clash that was hosted by Sam Houston. Red Wolves finishing as runners-up in that event. And they're going to close out the fall portion of their schedule coming up this weekend. They'll be in Kenosha, Wisconsin at the Lady Jack Classic. And the tennis team was in Lynchburg, Virginia over the weekend, concluding their fall season at Liberty, and ended up capturing 13 wins over the final weekend of the fall, 6 in singles and 7 in doubles. And it takes us to football. Red Wolves had a bye week this past weekend. And look, it's going to get really busy at this point as we head down the stretch. 4 games remain in the regular season coming up these next 4 Saturdays. And how about going into the second Saturday in November with the Red Wolves and Ragin' Cajuns? We're taking on our rivals on the road in Lafayette with first place in the Sun Belt's Western Division on the line. Kind of feels like old times as we head down to Cajun Field. But kickoff at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The Red Wolves are all alone in second place right now. So a win over the Cajun Saturday, and A-State will be in first place and would have the tiebreaker. Still with a long way to go.
Right.
There's a lot that can happen.
Sure is.
The 3 weeks after this week. But, man, it's good to be in this position again. Let's not leave out the fact, yes, we're going for first place, but we're also trying to clinch a bowl berth for a second straight year.
Bowl eligibility, which is, I mean, quite honestly, secondary to, you know, kind of the business at hand, right? I mean, bowl eligibility will take care of itself if you just keep stacking wins and stay in that conference race. Arkansas State no longer needs any kind of help.
Nope.
Right? I mean, the control of its own destiny to win the West, stay in that situation. We'll start looking at the East and see who needs to do what and to have the game in Jonesboro. But it's fun to get to November, and not need any kind of assistance. Just take care of your own business. And if you could do that and look up, you'll be playing a game on December 7th.
And I know we haven't had a ton of success over the years in Lafayette. Looking for our first win there since 2012 when we went in there and beat the brakes off of them.
Run it again.
What, 8 times in a row we ran it again?
Something like that.
That was a fun one, but I think before that it had been since 1992 since we won at Cajun Field. So we played a lot of close games, but maybe this is the time we get back over the top again against our rivals. These are our rivals.
Historically, Ben, it's a home game series. Like, I mean, the home team has a really good record in this game. But
the Red Wolves won last year in Jonesboro.
But not unblemished. So, both teams have won at the other place. So we've seen a little bit of everything from, you said, to run it again to, I'm sure, the only game either of us have seen that the replay booth decided who won.
It looked like we had won the game.
Look, I mean, all these years later, you say they got the call right. But the truth, I mean, literally the only time you've ever seen it where everybody was standing around on the field waiting for word to come down from the replay booth because their decision literally was deciding who won.
Yeah, both teams got to celebrate.
Yeah.
And we celebrated first, and then after the review, they celebrated. So
it's had a little bit of everything, so can't wait to see what the 2024 version has Saturday.
All right, anything else before we get out of here?
No, just a busy time. Listen, I just, you know, if you can, and I don't, you know, obviously people, you have the ability to listen to this in all kinds of places, so sometimes it's just not realistic. But, you know, if you're around and can, golly, please try to find a way to First National Bank Arena Friday or Saturday or both. This volleyball team is, like I said, you know, they've earned it. What were they? I mean, gosh, were they picked?
Towards the bottom.
Yeah, toward the bottom of the division. And here they are, you know, leading it with two weekends to go, playing the team they're tied with. And it's the last two home matches of the season. So if you'd like to just kind of pay this team off for the season they've had, the way to do that is to give them a big loud crowd on Friday night and Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Friday at 6, Saturday at 1 as the volleyball team takes on South Alabama. Been a fun episode. Thanks again to Kellen Blanchett for coming in. Enjoyed our visit with him. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.